Sorry about that, Dora Winston.
Much alike. Tim, Bill, thank you very much for that music this morning. It's great. First of all, good morning, everyone. It's once again a great honor and a great pleasure for me to be up here at this pulpit to deliver the message. As you know, I am not Ivan. Ivan is supposed to be on vacation, but isn't, but is going to be gone for a couple of weeks. So several of us will be standing in, and today I'm speaking on the subject of justice. Being a retired judge, that's something I should know a little bit about. Next Sunday, which is Father's Day, I will be speaking on a legacy-driven life. And then my third Sunday, we will be speaking about vision. I've kind of labeled this vision, a yearning for more. And I will, at that time, introduce you to some of the aspects of the strategic plan that we developed for Denali Bible Chapel. Once again, thank you for being here. I particularly want to welcome our visitors, and I hope that being here in Alaska has developed some great memories for you to take home back to your loved ones back there, as well as your home churches. And we have a couple of other special visitors here. We have Ben and Elizabeth, who will be getting married. Drew. And where's Ivan? They're getting married here in a couple weeks. And then in the next row back, we have a young lady who came back from Colorado, Aspen Severance. And a couple of weeks after that, she too is getting married. So wish them well when you see them after the service, if you would. As I said, today I'm speaking on justice. I'm going to be addressing both social justice issues and biblical justice issues and what is really important to God. I suspect that you're going to be challenged by this message today. I can truthfully tell you that I was very challenged as I was preparing this message for you today. Even researching the definition of the word justice was interesting to me because it means different things to different people and to different cultures all around the world. Some of the things that I looked at were Abraham Lincoln and his passion to end slavery, and Martin Luther King, Harriet Tubman, and other different men and women who throughout history had this incredible passion for issues of justice. As I was studying it, I started looking at it in a perspective of the world in which we live today. You know that I think that we tend to be a little wimpy on our justice issues that we get involved in. You know what I mean? Well, maybe I should say this. You know, we tend to get worked up and a little excited about a lot of things that don't really matter. I think it's fair that perhaps I ask you, are there any overreactors in the chapel today other than myself, yours truly? Raise your hands. All right, good. You're in good company, by the way, so thank you. You know, we just kind of tend to overreact to small things. I think that it is important to realize that we do indeed have this tendency. For instance, you dial up the cell phone company. You spend 3 minutes going through this elaborate menu just to hopefully speak to the correct person about your unique and specific issue. Then incur the pleasure of waiting 60 to 80 minutes just to correct an overcharge of $1.47. Have you ever done that? Have you done anything similar to that? I think we all have. I think that's part of human nature in a way. But we spend so much time because this thing swells up in us that it's just not fair. It's just not justice that they overcharged me $1.47. Have you ever gone into a restaurant as you approach the hostess, she says, you know, we're really busy. You're going to have to wait 15 minutes before I can get you seated. And then after 17 minutes, it's as though the world stood still. Like you want to go and talk to the owner of the restaurant or file a complaint with the Better Business Bureau. You know that this thing just kind of rises up within you, this frustration. How about the weather itself? You know, we just had a prayer for the farmers, but this last May, I mean, it appeared as though winter was never going to end. I mean, what did you all think about that? I mean, what was happening here? And, you know, we're Fairbanksans. We're used to long winters. But it's just not fair when winter is prolonged for weeks on end after it should be over. And, you know, it's just not justice. How about you parents out there? Have you ever experienced, and I hope that you don't, but your child is playing soccer or baseball, and the referee penalizes your soccer player, or the referee throws out your baseball player, and all of a sudden you have this swelling of feelings inside that your child's professional sports career has come to an abrupt end? Or how about those parent-teacher conferences? You know, I suspect this doesn't happen to anyone here at Denali except yours truly. But you go in and the teacher starts talking about your child. And you go, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. They can't possibly be talking about my child. And the feelings of justice and indignation just rise up within you. And my last example, and I promise you it is my last example, is you're in a parking lot. And you've been going round and round. The place is filled up. And lo and behold, you find the perfect spot. It opens up. And you wait patiently for the driver of the parked car to back out of the parking spot. And it becomes empty. And what happens? A sporty little compact car driven by a young boy with a bumper sticker on the back of his car reads, "I'm an honor student at Lathrop High School," zooms into the parking spot. You know, I can't even begin to describe to you my feelings of what I want to do to that kid. But of course I don't, and I find another spot eventually, and we go on. But, you know, we have this feeling it's just not right. It's just not justice. Today, though, I think that what God wants me to get across to you is, do we care enough about the things that He cares about most? We'll talk about some other key areas of justice here in a little bit. But, you know, I really do believe that God wants to know if we care about the things that He cares the most about. I also think that this is a true question for whether the fact you're a new Christian, old Christian, or a Christian in between. It doesn't really matter. It's a profound question for us to consider. Do we care about the things that God cares the most about? Let's quickly look at Micah chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offering, with calves a year old? What? Well, let's jump in here and look at justice through the eyes of God. During my research on the idea of justice, several definitions popped up. So right from the get-go, I want to clarify two terms with you right now. Neither term is bad, but I want to draw a delineation between the two terms. I think that people confuse the word passion and the word justice. The word passion and the word justice. Passion is defined as this. This is very important and we should do this. Examples of that would be, I should provide for my family. I should save for college. The key is that this is really important, and we should do this. Justice is defined. This is very important, and we must do this. This is the difference between passion and justice. Passion is a good thing. It can even be a great thing. But today, for the purposes of this message, justice is what God says we must do. It is the difference in college, and Ben and Aspen should have some knowledge of this, between a mandatory class, a class that you must take in order to get your degree and to graduate, versus an elective class, a class that you can choose to take or classes you can choose not to take. So, I really want to explore this because I do think it is a very important distinction. But let me ask you this. Have you ever asked yourself, who does God love the most? Who does God love the most? Some of you are looking at me with a stare of bewilderment, and I suspect you're wondering, what in the heck is he going to say now? But you know, I think Tim leaned over to his wife and said, it's you, honey. Just kidding, he didn't say that. But in answer to that question, you may say the kids, the children. You may say Christians around the world. You may say the hurting or the lost. Who does God love the most? After thinking about this rather profound question, I think there is only one correct answer. And the answer is this: the entire world. The entire world. That is who God loves the most. He loves the entire world the most. This may not be new to you, but it is the very basic foundation. Look at John chapter 3, verse 16. This is a very familiar verse here at Denali Bible Chapel and in Awana. It reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world. There's a lot of motivations for justice. I think we went through some of them. People can get fired up and angry over a lot of issues of justice that they want to fix or correct. But I really love John 3:16 because it is the greatest foundation for God honoring justice, and that is love. It is love for God honoring justice. It is like, I love this so much. I love the world so much. I love my family so much. I love this cause so much. You know,
whoops,
I'm having all types of problems here today. But God has modeled this foundation on love, which is the very foundation that Denali Bible Chapel has been founded on. The effect is that it makes a world of difference in our relationship to God. Today, we have a lot of social justice issues in the world. A lot. Those issues are big. They're complicated. And yes, they deserve our attention. There's no doubt about it. The poor and their justice. Racism should be eliminated. Anyone who's been taken advantage of should be helped and healed. People who abuse others need to be brought to justice. You know, there are just so many injustices in the world today. Those people who traffic women, they need to be brought to justice. People who traffic children need to be brought to justice. There's world hunger. There's world poverty. There's issues of potable water. There are so many issues out there. The bottom line is that there is so much out there that is real, vital, it's important. But you know, I want to share with you right now what is on my heart. And I think that there is a justice issue that supersedes everything else. I think that there is an area where there is an issue, and I am truly passionate about this. This area just screams to everyone who calls himself or herself a Christian. And I truly do think this is a justice issue. And here's what it is. The others are very important, but I do believe this to be the most important issue. That is, there are 3.14 billion people in the world today that have not heard the message of Jesus Christ. Once again, there are 3.14 billion people who are currently living in the world today that have not heard the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. That number, 3.14 billion, just blows my mind. You know, I think it's a human right that they hear the message of Jesus Christ. 3.14 billion, just to give you a little perspective of that number, the population of the United States today is approximately 325 million people. Take that number and multiply it by 9, and that is the number. When you think of that many people, it's a huge, huge task of getting the message of Christ to them. It is just incredibly huge. You know, I started working on this message back in mid-May, and this issue just really grabs my heart. 3.14 billion people, with all of our wonderful advanced technology, with all of our wealth, have not heard the message of salvation. It deserves our attention. I believe it is a human right. And you know what? Our Lord Jesus Christ has weighed in on this issue in Acts chapter 1. The verse I will be referring to is the last statement Jesus made before his ascension into heaven. So Jesus has been crucified, died, buried. He rose from the dead. And he interacts with his disciples and others, tells the truth about his resurrection and other stuff. Then he comes to the moment where Jesus weighs in. Now, please track with me here because there's a deeper lesson here. In this passage, the disciples come to him and ask him, "Is this the time that you are going to restore the kingdom, that you are going to come and take care and right all these injustices that are occurring in the world today and do other marvelous things?" You know, I kind of believe, and those of you who know me, I have a little perverse mind from time to time, but I think the disciples were thinking that now is the time to have a little strategy session, Jesus. We need to strategize all this out to make sure it comes to pass. And here's what Jesus says. These are his very final words before he ascended into heaven. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. "So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus weighs in. He tells them what we are supposed to do. I want to digress here a little bit. When you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can read about how Jesus was contacted by different people and how he interacted with different people. And my way of thinking, Jesus wasn't always clear. He had a very clear purpose of what he wanted to accomplish, but he wasn't always clear. And by that, I mean he would ask questions. He would tell stories. He would use parables, etc. Again, the purpose to lead people to an incredible place of faith. But Jesus' words in Acts 1, verses 6 through 8, are entirely different. He doesn't tell any stories. He doesn't tell any parables. He doesn't ask any questions. And he certainly doesn't ask the disciples for their input. This is what Jesus does. There are two points here, two very important points, and I don't want you to miss them. He says, disciples, you asked me about a time, about the kingdom, the church, and other stuff. The first point that Jesus responds and says, you know what? It's none of your business. And not to focus on it. Once again, it's none of your business, and you're not to focus on it. It seems to me Jesus is indeed very clear. Some would say crystal clear. The second point that Jesus makes here is what your focus will be. He says, will be. You will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus is saying, here is your justice mission. He has given them a must-do. Jesus is not saying, hey, let's think about this overnight, and we'll pray about it, and we'll get them together tomorrow morning and talk about it some more. No, Jesus is direct. In fact, he is very, very specific in regards to what he wants his disciples and us to do. You know, Jesus is truly the most loving Savior, and amidst all that happened, he brings forth this truth with the greatest of clarity. I probably shouldn't say this to you. It kind of popped in my mind as I was preparing my message. And the reason why I shouldn't really talk about it is I really like to think things through thoroughly before I make a public declaration. But I'm a gambler at heart, so I'm going to risk it. We read in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God had a mission. He sent Jesus. Jesus lived this mission, the mission to restore people to the Father, to bring people back into a loving relationship with God. Jesus was crucified, died, was buried, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Now, Jesus is telling us that we now get his mission. Jesus is saying, I have handed my mission to you. You are the church. You will be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and now you have to go do it. This is not one of those things that we should do because it is really important. What Jesus is saying is that this is a must-do thing. So here's my simple definition of what I think justice is all about. Justice is every person on earth having the opportunity to accept Christ. What do you think? Amen? Once again, justice is every person on earth having the opportunity to accept Christ. It's a human right. The 3.14 billion people deserve it. God loves the entire world. Our church is really doing great things, not only here in Fairbanks in Alaska, but throughout the world. But God is calling each and every one of us to this mission. Look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Aren't those verses great? You know, I love it. This is our mission. When people ask me about Denali, I tell them we got great programs. We have Youth for the Lord. We have Awana. We have other things we're doing. But I also tell them that we are supporting missionaries literally around the world. Papua New Guinea, Indonesia, Southeast Asia, Africa, so on and so forth. A large portion of our budget goes to spreading the word in support of these missionaries around the world. Someone once asked me, well, when do you plan to stop? You know what? We aren't going to stop. We're going to continue this work of sending and supporting missionaries throughout the world until the job is done, until the whole world is reached. This is just not a mission of any one of us here at Denali. God has given us this mission. This is a justice mission, and it is the top one that we are called to do. We will resource, we will pray for missionaries until our mission is accomplished. In conclusion, let me just say this. Unreached does not equate to mean unreachable. This is great news. We will continue to send and support missionaries, not just to some of the easiest places in the world to get to, but also to the most difficult places in the world. Think about China 30 years ago. At that time, it was deemed to be unreachable. But today, you know what? It is estimated that there are 10,000 people per day accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. How could this happen? You know, we serve an awesome God, and you know what? God can do miracles. On our last trip, Glenda and I were in Orlando. I was finishing up my involvement with U.S. figure skating. I was having a hard time sleeping. So I prayed, and then I believe God asked me a question. I pondered this question for a long time. Let me ask you that question that I pondered in those early morning hours. What is your first step to doing your part to accomplishing Acts 1:8? Everybody's invited. Every step is critically important. A lot of us have already taken those steps. For those of you who have taken steps, I have another question for you, as you might suspect. What is your next step going to be for accomplishing Acts chapter 1, verse 8? Once again, a lot of people have stepped in. Some people haven't yet. Some people don't have any idea how to even approach taking a step. I think that we all need to pray that God, through the Holy Spirit, will define what that next step is for us to take. And I am absolutely positive that God will answer your prayer. My last bit of scripture that I want to share is a little bit of heaven. This insight into heaven is predicated on accomplishing our mission here on earth. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 10 and verse 17. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." God wants everyone in the world to know of His amazing love. He wants us to be part of it. So let's be part of it. Let's assess what our first step will be. Then live that dream with joy and great happiness. Thank you very much. With that, I'll close with a word of prayer. If you could all stand and bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and for the mission you have handed to us, that we are committed to this justice mission because we are motivated by your immeasurable love for us. We love the people of this world. We want to share your love with them. God, just speak to our hearts and help us to taking that next step to honoring you and to accomplishing Acts 1:8. And help us to be the person, the disciple you have called us to be. Thank you for calling us to be on mission for you. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Thank you for being here. Have a great, great week, and greet one another as you leave. Thank you.